Deva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harenama 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 Vakivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. I want to tell you a story about myself. Back in 1972, one day, I was with my girlfriend and her sister. I was 22 years old. And my girlfriend and her sister wanted me to come with them to a college because there was some spiritual group and they were going to have some meeting. And they were followers of some incarnation of God who was 16 years old. And I was, of course, quite skeptical. But it was my girlfriend, so like a puppy dog, I went. But as we were heading towards the particular classroom, a young angel stopped me. And I don't think she approached my girlfriend or her sister, but she came right up to me and handed me this book, little pamphlet. And then we kept walking, and I went to the meeting. And as I suspected, it was a bunch of gobbledygook nonsense. And I was thinking, these people are wacko. This is such a waste of time. So when we left the meeting, that angel was still there. And again, she stopped me. And from her own lunch, she gave me some little bit of rice. She said, "Eat this." And anyone who knows me, I don't refuse food. So I took the rice. When I got home, I took that pamphlet, and it said, "Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj." And as soon as I read the first sentence, I said, "Ah, now this makes sense." I had just spent 40 minutes with so-called spiritual gobbledygook nonsense. But the very first, and as I read sentence after sentence, it was like a bell was going off. Ding, ding, was like, yeah, I like this. And I read it. And then when I finished reading the pamphlet, I turned it over. And there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada like this. And I said, yeah, that's my guru. Not this 16-year-old stupid. This is my guru. I like everything he says in this book. So, on Tuesday, I decided, let me read that book again for the first time. And I was thinking, what was it that I liked? So I read it. I read it while we were doing the yajna. So I went to the restaurant. It was not open. And I read that pamphlet again. And I was thinking, wow, did I really understand what I was reading? I was thinking, wow. And then I got to chapter 4, and I would like to read to you chapter 4. It's not going to take long. Chapter 4, now what this book is, this is a book that Prabhupada's disciples put together based on lectures that Srila Prabhupada had given in 1968 on a few verses from the seventh canto dealing with Prahlad Maharaj. So here is chapter 4. So please try to listen. It's not long, and then I'll talk about it. Chapter is entitled, I Love Krishna More Than Anything. Prabhupada is, of course, it's a lecture, so it picks up, actually, Prabhupada is speaking. Now, Prahlad Maharaj makes a further statement about the complications of material life. He compares the attached householder to the silkworm. The silkworm wraps itself in a cocoon made of its own saliva until it is in a prison from which it cannot escape. In the same way, a materialistic householder's entanglement becomes so tight that he cannot come out of the cocoon of family attraction. Even though there were so many miseries in materialistic family life, he cannot break free. Why? It's because he thinks that sex life and eating palatable dishes are most important. Therefore, in spite of so many miserable conditions, he cannot give them up. Now, Prabhupada, in this first paragraph, is pointing out what Prahlad Maharaj was telling his classmates at the age of 5. Prahlad had heard transcendental knowledge from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, when he was in the womb of his mother. And when there was a midday break, lunch break, the teachers would leave the class and Prahlad would gather his friends, and his friends would say, no, we want to play. Prahlad would say, no, come. I'm going to teach you something very nice. It's called Krishna consciousness. And the young boys, even though they were the sons of demons, they were not so contaminated yet. They're only 5 years old. And they liked what Prahlad had to say. And they asked Prahlad, you're in the same school as us. Where did you learn all of this? And he said, when I was in the womb of my mother, Narada Muni preached to her, and I in the womb heard everything he was saying. And then Prahlad would also get the class friends to clap and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And then the teachers would storm in, Prahlad, what are you doing this nonsense? So he would have to stop. But he was determined, even at 5 years old, to preach Krishna consciousness. So even at this 5 years old, he's speaking a very, very advanced concept of what we call Vedanta philosophy. Vedanta, the end of knowledge. Where does knowledge end? That's called Vedanta. And Vedanta is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prahlad is an authority. He's called Mahajan. There are 12 such authorities on Vedanta. And Prahlad is one of them. So even at 5, he's able to discern how family life can be an entanglement. Prabhupada continues in his lecture. In this way, when a person is too much entangled in family life, he cannot think of his real benefit to escape from material life. Although one is always disturbed by the threefold miseries of materialistic life. So what are those threefold miseries? Prabhupada teaches this. First, there is miseries from your own body and mind. We all experience that. Our own body and mind causes us misery at some point, perhaps daily. Then there are miseries caused by other living entities, mosquitoes, cockroaches, different kinds of, especially in some countries, the cockroaches are like this. Some of them fly. Or if your house becomes like where I live, every year when it would get like this hot, and I would live in the apartment on the top floor, there would be a billion termites. And the whole, they would just be dropping out of the ceiling. It was like a plague. Termites just coming, the attack of the termites. And it would happen every year, soon as it would get, because it would be too hot for them, and they would come out of the, because the ceiling is wood, so they would just, the whole living room would be covered with these termites. And then the third miseries, we experienced it this week. Climatic, environmental. No, I'm not talking about global warming, don't get upset. But it is true that the demigods are inflicting different miseries on us by giving us extreme climatic conditions. Kind of hot this week, wasn't it? Yes. So, at every moment, we're suffering either one, two, or when you have a bad day, all three at the same time. Miseries. Still, because of strong family affection, one cannot come out. One does not know that he or she is wasting one's limited duration of life simply for family affection. He is spoiling the life that was meant for realizing one's eternal self, for realizing his or her real spiritual life. So this concept is actually the beginning of Vedanta philosophy. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That's the first line. And the first line begins with the word therefore, which is what? Therefore is something that comes later after you've established something. But the Vedanta Sutra begins with the word therefore, which means Vyasadeva assumes that you did your homework by studying the 108 Upanishads. And therefore, he says, therefore. But nevertheless, therefore, the context is, now that you understand that you have taken a human birth, your number one priority is self-realization. And according to Vedanta, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, if one does not make self-realization the priority of one's life, then your life is a failure. F grade. Because you have been awarded this human life to finish up, like it was mentioned here, imprisonment. Material existence, according to Vedanta, is itself imprisonment. Whether you be Lord Brahma or any demigod or the termite in my apartment, we're all prisoners. And the goal of life, is it to stay in the prison? No. The goal is to get out of the prison. And that's why we have preachers like Prahlad and, of course, our beautiful Srila Prabhupada. They come to take us out of the prison life of material existence and to take us back home, Prabhupada's phrase that he uses over and over again. Back home, back to Godhead. That one phrase is so important to me because it answers thousands of questions. And I have been saying it 100 times. I'll say it as long as I live. I challenge anyone. Why is Prabhupada saying back home? Back home means that's where we came from. It's not a new thing. Back, just like some of you who have some experience, you can tell by my accent, oh, he's from New York. And sometimes I go back to New York, forget about it. I cannot say I'm going back to Australia. I've never been there, maybe in a previous life, mate. But not in this life. But Prabhupada, not once, not twice, hundreds of times is saying, back home, back to Godhead. So please, don't be misled by some other commentary. Stick with Prabhupada. He says, you were once with Krishna. Now it's time to go back. How many want to go back to Krishna, back to Godhead? Yes, you're in the right church. This is the back to home, back to Godhead church. So that phrase is so important to me. That's where I come from. So the goal of life is to realize, actually, another way to explain it, the way Lord Chaitanya explains it. Lord Chaitanya says, all the Vedas are teaching only 3 things. That's all. All the Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, they're only teaching 3 things. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Number one, Sambandha. You have an eternal relationship with God. Fits right in. If you were originally there with Krishna, you had to have had a relationship. It's not that you were some comatose thing. No, you were alive. You had a relationship of service. So Sambandha means that relationship of service, which you always had, but now it's forgotten, is now going to be reawoken. Sambandha. So the Vedic library is informing you that you have an eternal relationship with God. Eternal means it was always there, it's there now, and it will always be there in the future. When you want it, free will. But it's there. So Sambandha means now it's time to be connected again. Next one, Abhideya. Once you are convinced, yes, I accept that I have an eternal relationship of service to God, what do I do now? How do I get reconnected? What should I do? Abhideya. You approach a spiritual master, he engages you in activities which will solidify, which will reconnect. And once you do this Abhideya perfectly, you reap the result like a fruit. Fruit begins with the seed then becomes the tree develops fruits and flowers, and when the fruit is ripe, like a mango, and it drops, and you eat that mango, like on a day like today, You reap the result. So what is that result? Prayojana, love of God. And that's going to be introduced. I don't want to spoil Prabhupada's lecture, but I wanted to point that out. You have a relationship with God. You will be instructed how to reconnect, and the result will be you will love God. Let's continue. Prahlad therefore says to his demoniac friends, please give up the company of those who are simply after material enjoyment. Just associate with persons who have taken to Krishna consciousness. That is Prahlad's advice. He says to his friends that this Krishna consciousness is easy to attain. Let's stop there. This instruction here of Prahlad is exactly why Prabhupada created an international society. Because on our own, forget it. None of us would make any spiritual advancement on our own. Prabhupada knows that, and therefore he created an international society of what? Krishna consciousness. That's why we have a temple. That's why we have programs. And as Swabas said, now we have over 500 temples worldwide. In the days of Prabhupada, by the time Prabhupada left in 1977, we had about 108. Now we have 500. So it's expanding. And let's make it like, let's double it. In my opinion, how many Starbucks and 7-Elevens are there? Nobody complains, right? So let's make the number of Krishna conscious temples more than Starbucks and 7-Eleven combined. But you got to do it. And don't wait for Swabas. You do it. You make your home a temple. You invite people and become guru. Yes, become guru. By preaching like Prahlad. Prahlad was preaching in the classroom. There's no limit. You can preach anywhere, on the bus. Anywhere you go. It just takes guts. You can do it. One time, I used to work a regular job here in Westwood. So one day, on the elevator, there were all these foreign exchange students. And they were each from different countries. So there was like 16 people, and they were all talking in different languages. So I said, okay, I'll talk in my language. Sarva dhamman paritya ja, mame kam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, moksha yashami ma suchaha. I said, if they're going to talk their language, I'm going to talk my language. You can preach in any circumstance. In my office, when the phone would ring, I wouldn't say hello, I would say, Haribo. They thought I was saying hello, but I was saying, Haribo. Where there's a will, there's a way. My wife, what does she do? She works in a law office, so she'll make something which she knows the big fat lawyers will want to eat. She'll offer it to Krishna, and all during the day they come over. This is so good. What is it? Oh, it's just secret weapon. Didn't Swabas say? Kitchen meal, secret weapon. Yes. They don't know it, but they're being purified. There's no limit to preaching. Krishna in your heart will show you how to do it if you want to do it. First you have to want. Then Krishna will show you. Oh, I didn't know he was watching me upstairs. Got to be careful. He's always watching. So Prabhupada created this movement so that we could associate with each other and help each other and encourage and enthuse and enliven each other. We should not waste our time in anything else. We should be enlivening each other by talking about who? Very good. Enlivening, encouraging, and enthusing. He says to his friends that this Krishna consciousness is easy to attain. Why? Krishna consciousness is actually very dear to us, but we have forgotten it. That was the same thing I said. Therefore, anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness becomes more and more affected by it and forgets his or her material consciousness. Yes. The more we forget material consciousness, the more we become happy. Who wants to be happy? Yes. So, the best defense is a good offense. Except in the case of last year's Super Bowl. But generally, that's the rule of thumb. A good offense. In other words, proactive. You want to drive out Maya? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Proactive. Get out there. Chant and preach. Prabhupada continues. If you are in a foreign country, you might forget your home and your family members and friends who are very dear to you. But if you are all of a sudden reminded of your home and friends, then you will at once become very preoccupied. Oh, how shall I meet them? In San Francisco, one of our friends told me that long ago, he left his young children and went to another country. Recently, a letter came from his grown-up son, and at once the father remembered his affection for him and sent some money. That affection automatically came, even though he had forgotten his child for so many years. Now here comes a very nice sentence. Similarly, our affection for Krishna is so intimate that as soon as there is some touch of Krishna consciousness, we at once revive our relationship with him. So this might have touched me back in 1972, but when I read this on Tuesday, this really hit home once again. Prabhupada says, our affection for Krishna is so intimate. And Lord Chaitanya teaches this principle that love of God is there already in your heart. It's not something foreign. Please don't think that Krishna consciousness is West or East or Hindu or this is all nonsense. Krishna consciousness is there in everyone. Everyone is originally pure Krishna conscious living entity. And therefore, we're all brothers and sisters. Okay? We have to get off the bodily concept of life. I would say, get off the cultural concept of life. There's only one culture. It's called Krishna culture. So we're all in it together. There was once a video recording of one of our sannyasis, Jaipataka, and he was giving this lecture and was on video, and I remember it. And the punchline was, United Nations of the Spiritual World. That is what Prabhupada has created. Look around you. We have people from America. We have people from India. We have people from other countries as well. Nobody's fighting, right? Were you all chanting and dancing earlier during my nice kirtan? Yes, we're an international society. There should be no factions. One family, what we used to distribute a book. He built a house in which the whole world could live. And what's the science behind it? Because God is in your heart, and my heart. That makes us together. That makes us connected. Gee, what's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? You're not the body. I think some of us have forgotten the first ABCs. We're not the body. We're not man, we're not woman. We're not American, we're not Hindu. We're not Republican, we're not this, that, that's stupid. We are son, daughter, child, servant of God. My favorite example. To which country does the sun belong? Right? Can America claim the sun belongs to us? Again, stupid is as stupid does. No, the sun is for everyone. Guess what? God is not Hindu or Muslim or Christian or... No, he's God. And he's there for everyone. And we all belong with him. That begs another question. When Prabhupada founded this movement, somebody objected. No, you should call it International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said, no. It must be International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he said, Krishna is not sectarian. Krishna is scientific. The very name Krishna means what? All attractive. Gee, attractive means only for the Americans and not for the Eskimonians? No. All attractive means everyone and not just human. You read the Krishna book, what do you see? The land, the trees, the animals, everyone is attracted to Krishna. Why? Because he is the all-attractive entity. So just as the sun is there for everyone, Krishna is God, he's for everyone. I used to say, and I still say, for the past 40 years, I did not join a Hindu religion. No offense. I didn't join a Hindu religion. I joined what religion? The religion that chants, dances, and takes prasad. That's my religion, folks. I joined a religion that is going to teach me how to love God. I didn't join any other movement. And God, Krishna, is there in everyone. And it's just a matter of appreciating it. And once you appreciate God is in your heart, you will feel wonderful, but scary, because he's always watching. You can't hide. That's the scary part. He knows when... Yes. You can't hide from Krishna. But he's also... Oh, Prahlad's going to say... Let's wait for Prahlad. Everyone has some particular relationship with Krishna. What was the first word?
Everyone.
Oh, thank you. Who said that? Raise your hand. Very good. Somebody's paying attention. Everyone. Is anybody not understand that word, everyone? Good. Everyone has some particular relationship with Krishna. And I was taught... Everyone has a unique relationship with Krishna. That makes it even better. Unique. So I don't need to worry about you. Because you have your unique relationship with Krishna, and Obama can't do nothing about it. Or the NSA or whatever you're worried about. Nobody can interfere with your unique individual relationship. Don't you want to find out what it is? I do. That's why I get up every day and I chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. I'm dying to find out what that relationship is. Are you? Good. Everyone has some particular relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, which he or she has forgotten. But as we become Krishna conscious, gradually our old consciousness of our old relationship with Krishna is revived. That's an important word. Again, revived. Revived means it was already vive. What's the Spanish word? Vive means what? To live, right? So the English word revive. Revive. It comes back to life. It's not something new. It was already there. That's why he says back to Godhead. And when our consciousness is actually in the clear stage, we can understand our particular relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada just said it. I said unique. Prabhupada says particular. Any difference, unique, particular? Anybody going to argue? One may have a relationship with Krishna as a son or servant, as a friend, as a parent, or as a beloved wife or lover. I love this. Never before had I ever heard that God can become your lover. This is what the esoteric teachings of Lord Chaitanya are all about. That God can become your lover. This blows my mind. All these relationships are pervertedly reflected in life in the material world. But as soon as we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, our old relationship with Krishna is revived. Twice now he's used that word in this lecture, revived. Now this next paragraph is the one that really hits me. We love, every one of us. First, I love my body because myself was within this body. So actually, I love myself better than the body. But that self has an intimate relationship with Krishna because the self is part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, I love Krishna more than anything. And because Krishna is all-pervading, I love everything. Yes, there are two ways that Krishna is all-pervading. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita that all this energy, whether it be material or spiritual, where does it come from? Krishna. That's one of the basic teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Whether it's material or spiritual, doesn't matter. It comes from Krishna. So, everywhere is the energy of God. That's one way he's all-pervading. Second, he's in everyone's heart. Don't you see living bodies everywhere? So, twice he's all-pervading. In the energy and within the innumerable living entities. Billions, not just human. Right? You've got aquatics, you have reptiles, insects, yes, even the termite. Krishna is in the heart of everywhere you go. There is Krishna. That is spiritual life. Seeing Krishna everywhere. And what's Maya? Maya is forgetting Krishna everywhere. That's Maya. Which one you want to be? I vote that we should always remember Krishna everywhere and not forget him. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, chant always. Let's do it, everybody.
Hare
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Unfortunately, we have forgotten that Krishna God is all-pervading. This memory has to be revived. Third time. As soon as we revive, fourth time, our Krishna consciousness, we can see everything in relationship with Krishna, and then everything becomes lovable. Now, I love you, or you love me, but that love is on the platform of this ephemeral body. But when love of Krishna is developed, I will love not only you, but every living entity, because the outward designation, the body, will be forgotten. When a person becomes fully Krishna conscious, he or she does not think, here is a man, here is an animal, here is a cat, here is a dog, here is a worm. One sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. This is very nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Quote, one who is actually learned in Krishna consciousness becomes a lover of everyone in the universe. Unless one is situated on the Krishna conscious platform, there is no question of universal brotherhood. If we actually want to implement the idea of universal brotherhood, then we will have to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, not material consciousness. As long as we are in material consciousness, our lovable objects will be limited. But when we are actually in Krishna consciousness, our lovable objects will be universal. This is stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Beginning from the non-moving plants and trees and extending up to the highest living creature, Lord Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present everywhere by his expansion as Paramatma, the feature of the Lord in everyone's heart. As soon as we become Krishna conscious, that extension of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, induces us to love every object in relation with Krishna. In closing, I put a straw in my mouth. I fall at your feet. I take the dust of your feet on my head. And I beg you, from the core of my heart, please love Krishna. Let's all chant together, raise your hands, repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
And as Lord Jesus Christ would say, go in peace. Your dinner is served. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.